Last Sunday night, we had encounter. I got up, read some word, and I was told later that I sang a little bit over people, and I sat down, and I immediately had an attack on me, on my physical body. So the struggle is real, right? What would happen if we believed you might be attacked? And by might, I mean you will. And so I'm battling that, but guess what? I'm a winner, winner, chicken dinner. I win, right? It's not coincidental that we've spoke here recently about entering into God's faith rest, that there's a rest that comes from faith. It takes faith. That was a faith message. If you didn't hear that, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's also not just a random thing that Pastor Grant then spoke on. The rest remains. And that this rest I'm talking about that I had shared with before is the believer's rest. There is a next step. You must believe. You must believe what God has said. What would happen if I believe? Well, you would have rest. If you're pedaling faster than you can go and you can't keep up, I would suggest you, if you could start by listening to Pastor Grant's message, because it will help you. And I don't think that it's at all random that I spoke on what will you do with Holy Spirit. Because it's a funny thing. We go to church, we believe in Jesus, we say we believe in Jesus, and yet he said, if you keep my commands, I will love you. And one of his commands to the disciples was to go and wait till the promise comes. And he also said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another. And as believers, we have to do something with that piece of information. Because if you're a believer and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord, you've accepted his sacrifice and his resurrection as your only way, your only redemption from your own sin. If you have accepted that, then God's asking us to come all in and believe the rest of the Bible that says he sent Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Imagine that. And then last week I spoke on Happy True Year. One of the things the Holy Spirit is here for is to help us let truth be our stake in the ground. That there is a stake to be planted that says, this is true. And I believe it. The truth. Pastor Chris posted I don't know if it was in Dream Team or just on his regular Facebook thing, but it was a quote from A.W. Tozer, who has a lot of good stuff. But the quote said, to desire revival and at the same time to neglect personal prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another. That's powerful. That's powerfully convicting to me. I'm going to be brief and amazing today. I promise. Oh, you people of faith that said I believe it. Game's not till 2. We got plenty of time. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1. I just got the grant seal of approval. I'm going to start with verse 18. It's not on the screen. Welcome to adulthood. I encourage you to bring a Bible, a phone, a scroll, whatever. You know, there is something powerful about you physically doing something in the service. If nothing else, it gets you off Facebook. I was talking with somebody this week, and I was realizing that with my paper Bible, which I have dug out and I now have it to look at, with my paper Bible, I have so much stuff written on it and things marked and whatever that it almost becomes like my roadmap of where stuff is. So if I'm looking for a particular verse, I know it's past that blob and over past this tear and next to, you know what I'm talking about? This place where I doodled something and stuff. And then you get on, I get on this and it's just not like that at all. You can still do notes and do all that stuff, but I don't have the same, I don't have the same thing. So anyway, Ephesians 1, we're going to start with verse 18, and I'm in the New American Standard Bible because it is the New American Standard for Bibles. Per Grant. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Wait a minute. Okay. I think we read and we don't ask Holy Spirit to show us what is going on. We read and we go, yeah, I've read that before. I'm going to read this. I want you to really listen to what this just said. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to reveal yourself here. Reveal Jesus in what I'm reading. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Whose calling? Jesus' calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Whose inheritance? Jesus' inheritance in the who? The saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ. Christ is the anointing. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is not Jesus's last name, it is his position. It is his place. He is Messiah. It is the anointed one, the anointing that breaks the yoke, the anointing that breaks chains of bondage on you and I, which he brought about in the anointing in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Listen, top dog, the top, no one above, all below, everything below. Would we agree with that? Would you agree with me that all authority is his? Would you agree with me that all power and dominion is his? And I say that because that's what the word says. That's what God has revealed to us through Holy Scripture. Now, we're going to come back to Ephesians. So keep your finger there on your phone. And I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to read three verses from there, 8 through 11. I want you to really grasp. I got one point today. One point. Is that all right? It's a long one, though. No, it's not. Philippians 2, verse 8 says this. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. I wonder why that's not doing that. You know, Carmen and Ruth has gone before doing disaster recovery work with organizations. And I've gone and done some disaster recovery work with organizations myself. And, but this time they're going because God said go. I mean, it was a strong, I want you to go. Now, notably, Ruth has family in the area that's affected. I mean, Carmen, sorry. Carmen has family there, okay? But she senses it's a beyond a family connection. You know what? She's part of our family here. And so she may not be going with the United Way. She may not be going with the Red Cross. She may not be going with Hope Force, but she's going with Lyft and our prayers with her and Ruth, right? But I want you to know it's out of obedience that they're going. Because she told me, she said, she got before the Lord. She said, Lord, really? Do you want me to do that? And he said, yes. So she said, okay, I'm in. And then she heard the rest of the story of what was going on there. She said, if she had have heard that first, she would not have said, yes, Lord, here. Do you want to know why God doesn't reveal everything to you? Because you'll chicken out. You will. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, across a tree that he saw planted and grown. Became his cross. You ever thought about that? I don't know how long it takes the trees to grow, but there used to be a guy that sang in our church years ago. He would sing, and he was so funny. He grew the tree that would set me free. And that's true, isn't it? For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we're in agreement. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, we've chosen to bow here. Right? We've chosen to step into our eternal life in this life. Someone was singing or saying up here that we're going to see him in the land of the living. We're going to have his blessing and promise in the land of the living. I gotta be honest with you. I'm always going to be in the land of living because I'm living forever. But I bowed my knee here. But I'm telling you, there are people who haven't bowed their knee here, but they're going to bow their knee there. They are going to bow. Because he's bowable. He's worthy. That's pretty profound. He humbled himself and out of obedience went to the cross. Came as a baby. He's not coming back as a baby. I can tell you that. Now we're going to go back to Ephesians. So we've established he is above all everything. And you know, when he went, he sat down at the right hand of God. He is seated in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today I want to remind you that you are seated, not defeated. We've got to come up higher. We've got to raise our stinking thinking into the abundant, powerful, authority life that one seated at the right hand of the Father is supposed to live. You see, I personally have come into a new year. Different year, same man in a lot of areas. I have held on to habits and faults and character flaws that were not profitable in 2019. And so they're not going to be profitable in 2020. I have already made a complete donkey of myself. In the few short days of this year, I have exhibited a character flaw of worry, of concern, of bitterness. I'm probably the only one. Probably none of you have lashed out at your spouse. You probably got rid of all of your insecurities, and you're receiving everything that the Lord has for you, and it's demonstrated by your love one for another. But I've had a struggle, and being ill hadn't helped any. Because you see, the enemy knows who you are. He knows whose you are. And if he can get you to do anything to distract you from your inheritance, from your right as a son and daughter of God, then he'll do it. The struggle is real, my friends, right? But I want you to know, as one seated with him in heavenly places, I've got to take my thoughts captive. I've got to come to a place to where I'm exercising, not just talking about I have authority, but exercising that authority in my life. And I'm inviting you to do the same thing. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Verse 1, Colossians 3, 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, your version may say, you have been raised up with Christ. Listen, you have been raised up with Christ. That is maybe one of the truest things I've said today. You have been raised up with Christ. No, I'm right here on earth. Hang on. You have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Listen to that same passage in the Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. Here's my point. Jesus said, I must go, but I'm going to send another. Remember that? I'm going to send another helper. And that word, another, is actually from the Greek of allo, A-L-L-O. There's two words that could have been used there. One's hetero and one's allo. Okay? If I held a Granny Smith apple up in front of everybody, and I said, today, everyone is going to receive a Granny Smith apple. Go ahead and start passing out the... Wish I had thought of this earlier. I would have actually done this. Go ahead and start passing out the Granny Smith apples. But about halfway through, they ran out of Granny Smith apples. But that's okay. We bought some what's another apple? Gala. Is that an actual apple? Okay. I know. I just wanted to hear you whine at me. So we give everybody else Gala apples. Would everybody get an apple? Yes, but it would be a hetero apple, because hetero in Greek means it's not the same, but the same. But allo means the same. Okay, you either got a Granny Smith or you didn't. When Jesus said, I'm going to send another helper, he was saying, the same exact as me. The same. I'm going to send you the same. I'm right here. I'm going to send you the same. If I could sit down with Jesus today, this afternoon, have an appointment and come and ask him all the things that I would like to know. If we could just have a little meeting and talk, I would come away such a better pastor, such a better father, such a better brother and son and friend and all those things, because I would have things revealed to me. I would be able to worship him face to face, but you can't, because the same lives in you as a believer. Okay? So I know I'm kind of pushing that hard, but it's true. The same God, the Father, the same God, the Son, is God, the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. And here's the good part. They love one another. Crazy in love with each other. And that same love that Jesus has for the Holy Spirit, he has for you. He loves you as much as he loves the Father. And because of what Jesus did, the Father loves you as much as he loves the Son. And to prove it, he said, I want to live in you. I want to live in you. So Jesus said, I'll send another, right? The same, send another. And then he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Remember that? Because in my Father's house, right, there are many, many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, he is preparing a place for us ultimately to be together. But really, he was saying, if you will obey my commands, if you will love my word, if you will love my presence, I'm paraphrasing, if you will take a grasp on who you are in me, my Father and I will come live in you. He was preparing a place in you. You're seated in heavenly places because heaven is on earth in you. That blows my mind. Come, Lord Jesus, I'm here. Emmanuel, God with us. Yes. I'd like to have a word with you. Let's talk. Share away. If you have time, I have all the time in eternity. Time is no issue for me. But you're seated. I know, but my circumstance not defeated. But it looks bad, but the truth, which I am the way and the truth and the life. We have to raise our attention. We have to raise our thinking. What if we believe? What if we believe we are seated in heavenly places? Because we are. All that stuff, that was all past tense. We're not going to be raised. We are raised. And we are seated with him in heavenly places. And I know that because he lives inside of me and you. Heavenly places are here and there. We sing a song. It is you we adore. It is you our praises are for. I got to tell you, it is you. It's where he lives. He's here. Because he's here, you have all authority and power. You have everything that he says he is. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, right? The promiser is here. Let's go beyond the promise. The promiser lives in you and I. I'm close with this, Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He knows your need. He knows before a bird hits the ground. That's what the word Bible tells us. I was watching the birds, and I was going to Google it, and I didn't, because it was so cold and snowy and icy and all that kind of stuff. And I just wondered, how cold can a bird survive? I mean, I look at animals. They're out in this stuff. My dog doesn't even want to go outside. And when she does, when she barks, you know, it means I want in now. Open his door now. And yet, not one of them hits the ground that God doesn't know about. How much more does he care for us, right? The Bible says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Listen, he cares about his temple. He cares about you. Well, what could get in the way? Me. My brain, my thinking, my confession. Out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word is confirmed. And there is, you have an old ugly face named Satan who's ready to agree with the anti-Christ things you say that don't agree with the Bible. I mean, if they're not for Christ, they're anti-Christ, right? So when you continue to declare your problems, he's continually ready to agree when you continue to declare the word. Well, I don't know the word. I invite you to know the word because it's living and active. Sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide between the muck and the mire in your spiritual life, in your physical life, in your emotional life. It's powerful. I heard Pastor Chris, I was in a counseling session with him and he this week, and he shared one of the most powerful take thoughts captive expression and teaching that I've ever heard. It was so good. I told him he ought to think about a career in ministry. It was so good because you can't stop thoughts from coming, but you can stop thoughts from staying. You can take them captive and you can speak what the word says. You're seated, not defeated. Say that with me. I'm seated, not defeated. Do you think there's any defeat at the right hand of God? Is there any failure in heavenly places? Well, we just pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So that when we pray for Iran, something happens. So when we pray for Puerto Rico, something happens. Because we have authority, because we're the head only and not the tail. We're above only, not beneath. We're more than conquerors through Christ, the anointed one, and his burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, Christ Jesus. It's powerful. It's not my power. It's his power. Boldly we come to your throne of grace, Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us to embrace with our minds that seem so set on believing what we can see, touch, taste, hear, even smell. God, we're so sense-oriented. I'm asking you, Lord, to help us to step out of that natural realm and to step into your supernatural realm, to where we say, we declare with our mouth, I believe that all things are possible with you. Where we say with our mouth that I am a child of God and nothing less. And we're, Lord, through your grace that you give us in our time of need, that we are grace extenders to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, go ahead and stand up. I got one more thing I want to share with you. And then if you would like prayer, there's going to be people up here that would love to pray with you and agree. But listen to this. Some people have a hard time with Father God, because you did not have a good father. And I understand that. I get that. And then, and so you embrace Jesus. Man, I'm all in Jesus. The father one's a little harder for me. But then this Holy Spirit thing comes along. It's like, well, what do I do with that? And somebody said on Dream Team about praying the Holy Spirit, I think is what she said, and how that, you know, I hadn't thought about it. I pray the Father, I pray to Jesus, but I hadn't prayed. Is that what it was, Kathy? Where are you at? Worship the Holy Spirit. I hadn't really thought about worshiping the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, this is tied to that. One of the things that we have a difficulty with sometimes is in seeing God as Father, and truly Jesus came and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say you've seen God, you've seen the Father. The New Testament, the whole story of Jesus is to reveal the Father and the Son. Jesus said, I pray that they have eternal life. And what is eternal life? That they would know you, the one true God, the Father, and me, his Son. That is eternal life. But listen to this. The issue or a thing that we have to continually grasp our minds around is the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. Regardless of what your father image on earth was like, I want you to realize that you have a heavenly Father who chose you in Christ to adopt you as his own. And I learned this. This is powerful. I learned this, and I haven't researched it, so someone can research it for me to see if it's really true, but this is what I heard. I read that in adoption papers, I've never adopted a kid, in adoption papers, that in adoption, in the actual process of adoption, you agree that you will never disown this child. It's part of the deal. As a parent, you can do, there's a legal way of cutting them off, right? Is that what you all been working on? Trying? Besides annoying them enough till they finally all move out. That's a different thing. No, you can. There are kids that have actually filed court to be removed as a child of a parent, right? Okay. But a parent can actually do that with a child. But in adoption, forever. It's a forever deal. Isn't that a cool thing? That you've been adopted by Father God forever, forever. Because he don't take up residence just anywhere, just in his children. So lift your hands up. Say, welcome, Father God. I love you. And I'm grateful that you will always love me. All of me. Good, bad, and ugly. I'm yours. And you're mine. And that settles it. In Jesus' name, amen.